with the content that you're creating, I think we have a lot of the same vibe around the content that we create. Like, it's very fun. It's very joyful. Like, it's kind of silly and chaotic at times, mm-hmm. but content that people love to engage with, people love to like hear the things reflected in their own brain. So like when I talk about, for example, like honest copy, honest marketing, or I talk about bringing your personality into your professionalism in your copy, mm-hmm. right? People like to feel seen and they're like, oh my gosh, yes. Like I was thinking that too. Like, I'm so glad you said this. Or when you're being silly and funny or like poking fun at something, people also love to engage with that because they're like, yes, this is hilarious. I love this.
Welcome to Social Goals with me, Kat, the only podcast that's teaching social media and marketing strategies that actually work for your local small business without dancing trends, posting 3 times a day or burning out. It's time to do social strategically. Welcome back to another episode of Social Goals. I am very excited for this very pink and very slay episode with Maddie O'Coin. Maddie O'Coin is a website copywriter, business owner, and public speaker. She helps creative business owners with messaging that sells through trust, integrity, and empathy. A former higher education professional, Maddie started her second business, By Maddie O'Coin, to help brands write copy without relying on sales gimmicks or over-exaggerated claims. Maddie is also deeply passionate about teaching other entrepreneurs how to market themselves authentically. Aside from guest speaking on numerous podcasts, she has taught many copywriting workshops for entrepreneurs, including the Perro Center for Women's Enterprise, Politics Now, and the Build Your Brand Conference. Welcome to the pod, Maddie.
Thank you so much for having me, Kat. I feel like this is a long time coming.
I know. So to give everyone a little bit of a backstory, Maddie and I met on Instagram probably years ago now.
2 or 3 years ago, either in 2020, I think in 2022, I want to say.
Yeah. And just started like DMing. And then somehow we started co-working together. I don't remember how that started. And then all of a sudden we were co-working every Monday together and then planned a trip to Phoenix for work. So it's been a long time coming that we're doing this podcast episode, considering we spend so much time chatting on the internet about business ownership and all the things.
And the first time we met in person was at an airport. I feel like we should mention that.
Yeah, to leave the country. We're like, okay, no biggie. Like, we just met, but we're going to go get on a plane together and spend.
It's funny because I feel like our parents told us like don't talk to strangers on the internet, and I feel like our entire job now is just talking to strangers on the internet, doing things that our parents would be so terrified for us, but we're doing it anyway. It's fine.
We're doing it anyway. We're here, and I'm so happy that the internet brought us together. And I know one of the reasons like we connected on Instagram is I think we both like really respect each other's approach to marketing and doing it in a way that isn't shameful, that feels good. And you often talk about and really amplify and use in your own marketing honest marketing. So can you break down a little bit like what that means to you?
For sure. So to give a little bit of background, I originally started this business in 2022. And I was coming from a product-based business at the time, shifting into a service-based business, which if you've ever done that or you've just been online as a service provider, you know that things are a little bit different on Instagram. And specifically what I mean is I think there's a lot more content geared towards telling people that, you know, they're doing things wrong, that you just need to invest in this course or to buy this thing and that will make everything better for your business. And so in experiencing that, I found myself really drawn to wanting to do things a different way, really feeling irritated and frustrated by these strategies that I think we've all been taught or we've seen and felt like we had to emulate, right? These strategies that tell us that we need to do things to sell our product or to sell our services or whatever we're selling. And so oftentimes, people will talk about marketing and just not doing things that they find icky, right? So for example, some things that people often find like icky are like using FOMO, so like fear of missing out if you aren't familiar with that. So like thinking about like, how can I say that there's only like one spot left when actually in reality, behind the scenes, there's like 5 spots left or more, right? Using scarcity, like saying, oh, this is the last time I'll run this workshop, hoping to get more people in, but then you actually just continue to run the workshop periodically. those are some pretty tame examples. But of course, like, people think that these are icky and they really don't want to do them, but you feel like you have to do them. And so when talking about honest marketing, I always want people to know that it's not just about not doing the things that you find icky, right? Of course, that's important, right? You should feel good about your marketing and not want to do those things if they don't feel good for you. But there's so much more to it in thinking about, okay, how can I actually be honest in my marketing? And so when I talk about honest marketing, there's a couple things that I always tell people to focus on that people don't often think about. And so the first is being specific. So not making like vague or fluffy promises and telling people exactly what they're going to get, setting those expectations up front so that people can feel good and feel confident. Being transparent and just letting people know exactly what they can expect right up front and not making people wait until maybe they hop on a sales call or maybe they, you know, have to DM you to get more information, allowing them to just evaluate that information up front, whatever that is.
Yeah, I think it's so interesting because when it comes to online businesses, like, so much of the messaging is about like these maybe not fully truthful hooks or like really pulling people in. And you have to have these like, bold's not the right word because it's like, I guess it's just like not honest messaging and using those like scare tactics. And I think that's probably one of the reasons like we connected. And although I work with a lot of like in-person businesses and like small town businesses, it's like this, that same message comes through. And I think like that's why I feel so passionate about it and like why I love working with you and like sharing your content and all that kind of stuff. Because like for small town, like small businesses, that online messaging marketing doesn't make sense. Like, you can't talk about like the one thing I did that changed everything, because is that actually relevant to your audience? So yeah, I think like both for service providers and product businesses, like this, like the idea of honesty is so powerful and is like so powerful for building community.
Yes. I think it's funny too. The other day you posted a reel about how you saw someone talking about if you just use your back camera versus your front camera, you'll go viral. And that is such a good and timely example, because even if you are not in, you know, this online space bubble, even if you are like an in-person service provider or a product-based business, you're scrolling through your Instagram and you're probably seeing this from people who have tons of followers or have tons of credibility or like whatever, right? Anyone can make something sound like it is expert advice, even if it's just the way that you're writing it, right? So you're scrolling and you're seeing someone say, the real reason that you're not making any sales is because, I don't know, let's say, for example, like you don't have a welcome email sequence. And so their whole thing is selling you on a welcome email sequence. And so that's how they get that to you. And so it's not even necessarily about if it's true or not, right? And that is, I think, the really frustrating part, because then people start to think like, oh my gosh, like I'm doing something wrong. There's something inherently wrong about the thing that I'm doing and someone's telling me that. So it drives into those feelings of like being fearful, being scared, being worried that this is going to be the thing that tanks your business. And I think especially in such an uncertain business landscape, it's even more problematic to see these tactics, because people are just trying to get the word out about their business. They're trying to retain their clients. They're trying to retain their customers. And I think seeing so much dishonest marketing can be so difficult in that landscape, of course, in any time, but especially considering everything that's going on in the world, is so, so harmful. And I think as well, this expert culture, and I think we see it a lot, is that we see people telling other people that in order to succeed on social media, tying back into those hooks, Kat, if you can say something with authority and you can present yourself with an expert, you can really say anything and get people to believe it, which is so problematic, right? You can't just go around telling people that if they film with a back camera, they're going to go viral. That's not true.
Yeah, my favorite thing to do is if I see a reel that's like, I've cracked the code to going viral, and they've put in screenshots of reels that have gone viral, if I go to their account and I'm like, okay, so there's the two that you showed, and then there's all the like normal performing reels. And I could do that. Like, I've had clients' reels go viral, get hundreds of thousands, millions of views, but like that doesn't make sense for my business. And I don't want people just buying a $5, I don't know, ebook on cracking the viral hook
code because it's not actually true. There's so many things that go in, and like in this case, to making a reel go viral. And part of it is just like coincidence, luck, like stars aligning. So it's not ethical for me to go make this thing, like make this promise of also that, like, just because I did it, someone who has over a decade of marketing experience, does not mean that someone buying a $5 ebook about it is going to have the same result. It's not the same.
Exactly. And I think the one thing people don't often think about past the ethical point, which obviously is a huge point, is that in the long run, this is damaging your brand, right? If you're out here selling a $5 program, course, workbook, whatever that looks like for you, to create reels that go viral, and if people are following your exact strategies, they're not going viral, people are going to, number one, get refunds, ask you for refunds. If you're not giving them refunds or they're not happy with it, they're going to talk about you on social media, right? They're going to tell their friends not to purchase from you. And in the short term, it can seem like a great strategy that you're just getting people in the door, you're taking their money, like it seems like a small thing, right? But then over time, you're losing those people who could have eventually become people who continue to work with you, continue to purchase from you, continue to share your content, continue to tell people like, hey, this person really knows what they're talking about. They taught me all of these things. They were able to help me with these things legitimately. And if you're just using clickbait and prioritizing that short term over that long term, people aren't going to stick with you, and you're not going to be able to continue to convert people or retain people, or honestly, probably retain a huge percentage of your revenue because you're going to be giving refunds an insane amount. So it's honestly like that ethical piece, and also thinking about like, is that the kind of brand that you want to create? Do you want people to associate you with, okay, like I bought their thing and I didn't get results, so no one should invest in it, or like they bought multiple of your things and didn't see the same results. And so I think it is so important for people to think about like, yes, honest marketing is about you being honest and ethical and feeling good when you post and when you go to sleep at night, but also thinking about like you are protecting your brand and your reputation and making sure that your brand has longevity and is not just going to succeed revenue-wise, customer-wise, reputation-wise in the short term. It's going to thrive in the long term for years to come. And that's what we all want, right?
Yeah. And I think like you were saying earlier, like that a lot of not honest content like talks about fear and like makes people not feel good. And like as a creator of content, thinking about how you want your audience to feel when they consume your content, and if they're always getting like the, like, you know, their heart tighten a little bit and like that anxiety chest, like, is that really what you want to be doing for your audience? Like there's such an opportunity to make content that makes them feel safe and like, oh, this person understands me and can help me, and like their products or their services are going to like fit into my life, versus making your audience feel like they're not good enough and that's the reason that they need your product or your service. So I think like as a creator too, and it is hard though, because when I'm scrolling, those negative things, and like I'm a deep, deep feeler. So like I'll see things and I'm like, they're right. You know, if I only did the example, if I only had a better welcome series for my emails, then like my business would be fixed. Like the reason people do it is because it does give that feeling to people, but like that's not a good feeling. Like I don't like it when a piece of content makes me feel that way. So I don't want to create content that makes people go like makes them feel bad.
Yeah, exactly. And I know people say this in a spiritual sense, but I mean this in like a very down-to-earth realistic sense, is that there is like a different energy when you are investing in something out of like excitement about where it could take you versus like if you are like scared or stressed about it. So like, for example, say Kat, I'm buying one of your workshops. I went to one of Kat's workshops earlier this year, 2020 Thrive, so that I could learn to plan out my content, because I'm going to be real here, that is something that I struggle with. There is no strategy, but we're working on it. And so
we're working on Maddie not spending 3 hours a day on Instagram.
Yeah, I literally, Kat did a part during the workshop where everyone had to pull up their screen time on Instagram. And the results were extremely humbling when I was the only one in the chat being like, I spend 3+ hours a day scrolling on Instagram, and everyone else was like, I spend maybe an hour. So that was humbling. But so we're working on it. But there is such a different energy if I'm in buying your workshop, right? Because I saw your marketing and I'm like, this is exciting. Like, I'm excited about the possibility of my marketing feeling like that. I'm coming to your workshop and I'm excited. I'm excited. The energy's good. I'm in the chat. Like, everything feels good. And I'm excited about continuing to invest in your things or continuing to consume your content because I know it makes me feel good, right? I don't have to worry about you making me feel bad or making me feel like Kat's making me feel bad because I don't show up enough on social media. Kat, you have never once made me feel like that. And that is like literally such like a rare thing, which is wild. But could you imagine if you had showed up on social media and been like, the reason that you're spending 3 hours doom scrolling every day is exactly why you're not making enough sales in your business. It's exactly why, you know, you're never going to have the business you want. And so I'm coming to that workshop and I'm signing up and I'm like, you're right. Like, I'm already kind of in that mindset of like, my business isn't good enough. I'm never going to be good enough. Like, how can I get out of that? And so you end up sticking with strategies that feel like unsustainable for you because you're genuinely not motivated by that excitement. You're just like, oh, I have to do this because if I don't, it's failure. But if you can, I feel like we've talked about this a lot. It's like, how can you build that like joy and excitement and like energy into it? And that makes it so much easier to stick to, right?
Yeah. Like, you're spending time and energy marketing your business. Might as well make it something that you don't hate doing. For most people, that means creating content that their audience like, that makes their audience feel good and wants to consume. So like it gets to be something enjoyable for both parties. Like the you creating it, like if you're having fun creating it, if it's something that brings you joy, most likely it's also going to bring your audience more joy versus if we're like out here shaming or making people feel bad. And like if someone is listening and they've like, you know, made content like this before, it's like it's not – you're not a bad person and it's not your fault because that's literally like so much of the content we consume as business owners is telling us to do that. It's like people saying like, I have the one solution you've been looking for. Like you, if you just did this, and it's usually like one really small thing. Like if you made your reel 6 seconds and if you use a trending audio in this hook, then like you're done, like beautiful, you're done, you're viral, everything. It's like, if it was that easy, they wouldn't be trying to sell you into their program. They would just be making these reels about different businesses and products and they would be millionaires. So just, it is hard because that's like so much of the content out there. So I just, yeah, I love how you show up authentically on social and encourage others to do that too.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I like to think about too is with the content that you're creating, I think we have a lot of the same vibe around the content that we create. Like, it's very fun. It's very joyful. Like, it's kind of silly and chaotic at times, but content that people love to engage with. People love to like hear the things reflected in their own brain. So like when I talk about, for example, like honest copy, honest marketing, or I talk about bringing your personality into your professionalism in your copy, right? People like to feel seen and they're like, oh my gosh, yes. Like, I was thinking that too. Like, I'm so glad you said this. Or when you're being like silly and funny or like poking fun at something, people also love to engage with that because they're like, yes, like this is hilarious. I love this. Like, this made my day. And so I think like not even just thinking about the way that we're making people feel like in the short term, but in the long term too, they're engaging with that content. They're continuing to be like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, Kat's content makes me feel like really good. And I know that I'm either going to feel like entertained or engaged, or I learned something about social media. So you almost like subconsciously want to consume it when you see your name. Whereas if you're like constantly being in this like doom scroll cycle of everything is bad, everything's on fire, you need to just like burn everything down in your business, it's going to be a lot easier for you to just be like, scroll, scroll, scroll. Ah, I feel terrible. But you always go back to what makes you feel good, right?
Yeah. Like, social media can be a negative place, both like in the content that's out there, but also just like how it can make our brains feel. So it's really important to protect that from like protect our brains and intentionally consume content that brings us joy. Cause like, again, at the end of the day, if we're spending time on this in our business, like this is something that can be fun. It gets to be fun. And we just have to put some boundaries in place to ensure that keeps happening. And like, for me, if a negative reel gets me where I'm like, reading the comments, or like gone to the creator's page, I'm like watching their other reels, I'll go back to that original reel and I'll write like, no, I'll mark not interested in it, because by me watching it probably 5 times and like reading the comments and then going to the profile, Instagram's like, oh, she loves this. Like, let's show her more. And I want them to know, like, no, like, it got me on the negative and I don't want to stay in that place. Like, show me more silly content from. And this is like a great tip for people is like consuming content outside of your industry is a great way to bring more joy into your social media experience and get ideas on like how to show up authentically and honestly online. Because if you're only consuming content from other people in your industry, it's really easy to get stuck in like, this is how I need to do it. Versus if you can see like how other people are doing it. And like, if you're a handmade product business, but then you're looking at how Maddie shows up on social, it's different. Like, it's different worlds, different industries, but you can pull ideas and you can pull inspiration and you can use other people's like passion, excitement, and channel it into your own business too.
Yeah, I think it can be so easy too when I fall into this loop a lot. And so I've definitely had to like set boundaries around the folks that I follow who are in my industry. And there are so many copywriters who I love following, but I also know that for my own boundaries, my own mental sake, I need to not necessarily be like following their content all of the time. And so one thought loop that can often get stuck in is thinking about like the messaging that they're sharing. And so sometimes there'll be something that someone else will post and I'm like, I've been thinking about that for so long and now I can't say it. And so, right. Or like, you know, they start to have say something that's like similar to something that you say. And you start to think like, oh my gosh, like now I can't say that thing or it's going to look like I'm copying or is what I'm saying even original? And so then you start to also doubt that part of yourself of like, I can't say that someone else is saying it or like this isn't original enough. And then you start to like hold yourself back and not show up and share from a place that's actually good and is connecting with your audience, right? And so, yeah, I think if you're able to obviously have those boundaries is super helpful against like, you know, the people in your industry. Obviously, community over competition any day, but it's also very valid to think like you need to protect yourself and your message and to be able to show up and share can be really difficult if you're just consuming people in your industry's content all of the time.
100%. And like anytime that you can create before you consume, that's also going to help too, because then it's like your creative energy when you're creating that content is separate from the energy that you're, you know, watching the content, and that can be really helpful too. So if any business is listening and like maybe like they haven't fallen into doing anything unhonest on social, let's say, but they're struggling to show up authentically on social, how can honest marketing like help them with that authenticity online?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are two things that I would think of first. The first is to think about that differentiation. And that is the trickiest thing for so many people is like bringing yourself and just feeling like being able to bring that like I'm different than the other people in my industry. That's really tricky for a lot of people. And so I want people to think of the areas where they can share, show up and share their values, show up and share their personality, the little interests that resonate with people that follow. Like, for example, these things seem so random to me and I'm still like, I can't believe people follow me and tag me in this. Like, this is so weird. But the two things that I'm known for on Instagram are doing fit checks where I like share my outfit. And they're usually like not like fashionable, like crazy fashionable outfit. It's literally usually just like jeans and a cardigan, okay? So fit checks and also going to the library and working there. And so those things, just sharing them over and over, right? Picking those couple things that differentiate me from other copywriters, other people in my industry, people connect with those. And so people will multiple times a week just post their story and be like, I'm like Maddie right now. I'm at the library. Here is my outfit. Like, did I do the thing? And so those small little touch points are so helpful to build community and also to show up as yourself, because it's not like I am like sharing everything about my life on the internet, right? But those two touch points of like, these are very realistic, honest parts of my life is that I always get dressed and I want to show you my outfit. And also I love working at the library or a coffee shop or wherever. Those are my favorite. So think about like those kinds of little touch points that you share on your stories and how those can help differentiate you, because people are always thinking of you top of mind when they see like outfits, or they're thinking about going to the library, right? Those things keep you top of mind. And the other thing I want you to think about is thinking about how you can be more understanding or more empathetic to the things that your customers or clients are going through. Oftentimes, we're told as business owners, we need to think about our audience's problems and we need to speak to those, which is, again, completely valid, right? We need to know what people are going through in order to be able to market them and to be able to sell them something that's going to help fix their problem. So for example, if you are thinking about being, let's say that you are like a sticker business owner, okay? And so your audience's problem is that they don't have a cool sticker filled with water bottles, which I'm showing mine here if you're not watching the recording version of this. I have no water bottles on my sticker, and maybe that is really sad and I need some water I need some stickers on my water bottle. And so if you're thinking about like, okay, what are my audience's problems? They need more stickers for their water bottle. And you're speaking to them from a place of like guilt. This is kind of a wild example that I just came up with on top of my head, but we're going to go with it because it works, I think, with anything.
Like you're not living your best life. Like if you have stickers, a customized water bottle, then like, why are you even drinking water?
What's the point, right? Like or maybe they're shaming you for like buying like stickers from like that are like low quality, like maybe your low quality stickers, so your water bottle looks garbage because you put it through the dishwasher and now your water bottle looks bad, right? This sounds so extreme, but I promise you, I see this every single day on social media, okay? And so you can see from that, right? You can apply that to any industry. It's just like making people feel like, oh, what I have isn't good enough, who I am isn't good enough. And so instead, how can we think about speaking to those people's problems from like a place of like excitement and understanding instead of guilt? So instead of thinking like, okay, like your water bottle looks ugly because you don't have any stickers on it, or because you ran it through the dishwasher and now all your stickers are kind of faded, what if we think of like, oh my gosh, how exciting would it be to have a water bottle full of stickers, right? Wouldn't that make you feel so good? Wouldn't that be so exciting? What if like people were coming up to you and being like, I love the stickers on your water bottle? Like that drives connection. And so you can see, even if you're not a sticker maker for water bottles, even if you're like a social media manager or a copywriter, or you own a candle store, you can see how diving and tapping into that second piece of like, wouldn't it be so cool if you had like candles in your home that, and your friends walked into your house and they were like, oh my gosh, your house smells amazing. Or like, what if you were a social media manager and you are able to land a client who's like, oh my gosh, like I feel so good and so seen and my clients love my content. So tapping into that place of like, I understand that it's hard to do what you're doing. Uh-huh. And it could be so cool and so exciting if you were able to do this, not like you suck, you should do this. So it's just thinking about like, how can I relate to them and understand what the problem is and just be able to like offer them like, this could be so cool. This could be so awesome. This could make your life so much better in like a really cool way.
Yeah. And from the positive side and not always the negative side. And I love what you said about the like using little pieces of your life for that honesty and that authenticity. Whenever I go to work at the library, it's too, I think of Maddie, and like neither of those things are revolutionary, right? Like other people work at the library, other people do fit checks, but because it's consistent and it's also specific, like you are consistently showing this in stories, like all the time doing fit checks, all the time sharing from the library, is like that builds that recognizability for people. And for me, like I like Taylor Swift, which again is not a very unique thing. There are millions of people, but I talk about it often. I also talk about like Pink, all these things. So like when people see certain things, they do think of me, and like people send me Taylor Swift memes. And my top performing story ever was when I got tickets to the Eras tour. Because people, like over 1,000 people saw that. So more than 25% of my audience saw that story, which is a really high in terms of like stories views, because people were like excited. Because that's something I talk about a lot. And I use a lot of Taylor Swift songs on my reel. And again, it's not groundbreaking, it's not revolutionary, but it's something that allows people to connect. Even if they don't even like Taylor Swift, it like they can see how much I like her, and they can respect that and celebrate that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's definitely like it doesn't have to be a wild thing. Like, for example, in one of my recent workshops, we were talking about like, what are the little things from your everyday life that you can bring into like a fun fact so that it's easier to talk about yourself. And one of the things that someone mentioned was their sourdough and how that's something that's important to them. So I'm like, okay, like you could bring that into a fun fact and you could just as easily bring that onto an Instagram story. And if you're posting about it, people are going to be curious about it. People are going to be asking about your recipe. People are going to be like, oh my gosh, you haven't posted about your sourdough. Like, how is it going? Like, are you getting good bread from it? Right. And so these things like seem so small, but the daily things that you do, people connect with those so much. It's not like the big, exciting things all of the time that people want to connect with. They just want to connect with the little everyday things because they're so much more realistic. And it's honestly just so much more fun to connect with those little things than it is like someone jet setting around the world all the time or someone, you know, doing all of these things. We all just want to connect with the little things.
Yeah, it's like, how can we make marketing more fun, more relatable, and make people feel good when they consume our content? I love it.
Exactly. And you've already like got the things with you, right? So it's not like you need to go out of your way. These are already things that we're already doing and talking about. And for you, Kat, like listening to, it's not like you need to go out of your way to do those things. So it makes perfect content.
I love it. And I love all the tips and how you like show this online through your own marketing. So where can people find you online to follow along and see all the great things that you're doing?
Great question. So Instagram, of course, is where I hang out for at least 3 hours a day, but we're working on it. So when this gets live, maybe I'll be down to like 2.5, 2 hours. So we'll see how that works out. But on Instagram, I'm always hanging out at by Maddie O'Coin. And you can also find me on my website, which I am there occasionally, which is www.bymaddieocoin.com.
Amazing. And I'll link everything in the show notes. Maddie also runs a series of micro workshops which really take what we've talked about today and put it into really actionable items. So definitely check out her website for that, for the next one that she's running. And we'll see you all online. Thanks for joining the show today, Maddie.
Thanks, Kat.
You're well on your way to becoming social goals. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave a review. It helps your small business friends find the pod. Follow Social Kat Media on Instagram, that's Kat with a K, and head to the show notes for my best free resources. See you on social, and see you next week right here with a new episode.